Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This week, rather than covering some topic in the news, I would like to again address an overarching biblical truth, and that is this. God always showcases evil before he judges it. I've alluded to this point before in many programs, but as the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, to write the same thing again to you is no trouble to me, but it's a safeguard for you. As we see our nation going into moral decline, even the whole world descending into Sodom and Gomorrah, there's great apostasy among the nations, Christians can be discouraged. In that sin is allowed to flourish for so long. We all long for God to pour forth his spirit, to show his hand so the nations may know that there is a God in heaven. Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As the fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. Or how about Psalm chapter 9, verse 20? Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know they are but men. And I could mention at least 20 more similar verses. Just recognize how universal this desire is on the part of God's people. Our angst is described by the Old Testament prophet Job. Job 21, 7. Why do the wicked live, continue on, also become powerful? Or the prophet Asaph in Psalm 73. Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease. They have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence, for I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. Or how about the question of the prophet Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 12. Righteous are you, O Lord, that I would plead my case with you. Indeed, I would discuss a matter of justice with you. Why has the way of the wicked prospered? Why are all those who deal in treachery at ease? You have planted them. They have also taken root. They grow. They even produce fruit. You are near to their lips, but far from their mind. Then also the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 13. Your eyes are too pure to prove evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? As I've said before in discussions on apologetics, the real question to answer is not the existence of God, but the apparent silence of God. Now, it's not that God's people want more judgment. We simply want sin stopped. We want the ungodly to know the Lord for their restraint, for their salvation. No one wants to see a nation embrace evil and go into decline. Even Jesus wept over Jerusalem. So, like the prophet Isaiah, we want God to open the heavens and make his power known to the nations. As in Psalm 22:27, that all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. And as in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And as in Psalm 98:2, that the Lord would make known his salvation, that he would reveal his righteousness in the sight of the nations. And Psalm 102:15, so that the nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. Also Psalm 115, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. Why should the nations say, where now is their God? So this is our desire. And it's a good desire because it's God's goal to reestablish his authority over the nations. But as it is right now, there's no national repentance. The ungodly are not abating, but becoming more stubborn, more deluded. And it's not as Asaph began in Psalm 73 that the wicked are prosperous and not troubled. I mean, by the end of the chapter, even Asaph realizes that's not true. The way of the transgressor is hard. Because of our departure from the Lord, families are broken. There's an epidemic of drug addiction. Our cities are unsafe. There are gangs and murders and thefts. Schools are failing. People have all sorts of psychological problems. There is a runaway national debt and inflation because people are greedy and don't want to work. We're a dying, aging population because of all of the abortions. There's plenty of evidence that if you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you will reap corruption. Yet despite all this, the unsaved in our nation are doubling down on their abortions, their transgenderism, their immorality, their secular state. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 29, the bellows blow fiercely, the lead is consumed by the fire, in vain the refining goes on, but the wicked are not separated. And even though God has been gracious and has withheld severe judgment, there is not mass starvation and world war, but still, the wicked have seen this as license, not grace. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. Or Isaiah 26:10. Though the wicked is shown favor, he doesn't learn righteousness. He deals unjustly in the land of uprightness and does not perceive the majesty of the Lord. And that's exactly what's happening today. The people are not perceiving the majesty of the Lord. They're ignoring God. They're living as practical atheists. So we ask, where is the God of justice? Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. Or we ask, how long, O Lord? Revelation chapter 6. Or we ask, as Isaiah asks in Isaiah 52, who has believed our report? And we think, if we only had a little more heavenly support, how about a miracle or two? How about a little more restraint? The ungodly, unprincipled social leaders, and I could name a few, shouldn't be in power. By God's restraint, they should be relegated to sweeping floors in some warehouse somewhere. Well, all I just shared sums up the question I often get asked when I go to political meetings. When folks find out that I'm a pastor, they will inevitably ask me, why are the ungodly winning? Why do they have the winds to their back and we have the winds to our face? Why have the wicked taken over all of the social institutions, the government, the media, the universities, the businesses? Why doesn't righteousness have the upper hand? And these are valid questions if asked in the spirit of humility and teachability. However, these are questions asked out of ignorance of God's plan and out of weakness of faith, because God is showing himself to this world. God, by the unseen Holy Spirit, is speaking to the hearts of people with a megaphone, and God is saving all who are to be saved. In Isaiah 26, for behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. But now is a time to test your faith, to show one's commitment and loyalty toward God, even though there might not be a stitch of evidence that God is on his throne and active, and that all God has said about his moral law and the gospel and the coming apocalypse seems hidden. We must remember that the testing of our faith is more precious than gold. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, We're protected by the power of God through faith for salvation to be revealed in the last time. But in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So do we see how our current frustration is addressed in the Scripture? And the Scriptures have an answer for us. So let's hold on. Our faith will be vindicated sooner than we think. All these things are happening in this world to test our faith and to give us an opportunity to express our faith. But also, and this is a second point in Scripture, all these things are happening to discipline and educate the people of God, both in preparation for their salvation and for sanctification after their salvation. God is allowing the current outbreak of evil to expose sin before he judges it. I don't want us to see that as the only reason. As I said, the faith aspect is the main point. But we should also consider this exposure aspect, where God wants the world and his people to see where sin leads before he judges it. Remember the purpose of the Old Testament law, Romans chapter 3. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. God wants his people to have this knowledge of sin, and God wants to show us what the universe looks like when his law is ignored. God wants to show what Satan's rule looks like. God wants to show what the rule of man, autonomous from God, looks like. In the garden, God placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If the tree wasn't in the garden, could Adam and Eve still have sinned? Well, sure. Rebellion starts in the heart. The only thing the tree did was allow sin to come to the surface so it could be seen by us in the physical universe. You ask, why does God allow for chemicals like alcohol and marijuana? And why does God allow for sexual desires? And why does God allow for false prophets and false ideologies? Well, because these things allow sin to be seen in our physical world, and these things have the punishment of sin built into them. It's really the graciousness of God that allows our sin to be exposed. So what we find in Scripture is that God always exposes sin before he judges it. And in that time exposure, it does give some time for tender hearts to see it, to be warned, to be frightened, and to turn in repentance toward God. How many more people are being saved by seeing the ravages of sin in this world? I came to Christ not by apologetic proofs for the existence of God, but by seeing sin in myself and in the world. The Bible is true because what it said about man's sin and corruption was true in practice. God taught me by showing me the sin in this world and showing me that I needed a new heart. But eventually, in this exposure of sin, the day of repentance will be over and sin will be judged. Some scriptural examples that God has given us as a pattern. The first example of Noah and the destruction of the first world. From the time Noah was told to build the ark until the flood was about 120 years. Genesis 6:3, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. Some people interpret that text to mean man's average lifespan would be 120 years, but it's clearly the time left from the announcement of the flood until the destruction. And this time lapse is specifically referred to in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark. A lot can happen in 120 years. That's like from 1902 to 2022. We also have the example of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. God could have immediately destroyed the immoral cities of Sodom even before Lot arrived there. But God first wanted to expose sin. There's a strange account in Genesis 18 about angels appearing to Abraham before going into Sodom. And God said, "The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know." So God didn't know what was happening in Sodom? Well, of course he knew. But Lot and Abraham and the rest of the world didn't know. God waited until the men of the city showed their immoral deviance by trying to break down Lot's door and rape the members of his household. That was a bit of stress on Lot and his family. And I'm sure Lot was wondering why God didn't restrain these evil men sooner, but God wanted these men to fully expose their evil before he would judge them. He wanted to show Lot and his family the evil of the city, that there is a good reason why fire and brimstone should fall upon the city. So it could be shown that God is a righteous God. He doesn't cruelly punish innocent men. He doesn't afflict willingly the sons of men. But after seeing the actions of the immoral men of Sodom, I would agree that God is a righteous judge. Then there's the case of God's judgment on Egypt and the Pharaoh of Egypt. What was the purpose of the Jews having to live at least 80 years under a new Egyptian dynasty that knew not Joseph and persecuted the Jews? Well, to get the Jews to hate the world, to pull the feathers out of the nest so that they would leave Egypt. What was the purpose of the long drawn out 10 plagues? To show the obstinacy, the pride, the stubbornness of the Egyptian administration. Scriptures say that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and many people read into this that God somehow supernaturally hardened his heart. But in the context, God hardened Pharaoh's heart by bringing the plagues. For the unsaved, the more they're challenged and thwarted, the angrier they get. As I remember one Bible professor once told me, God could have wiped out Pharaoh immediately, but it was actually the grace and the patience of God that hardened Pharaoh's heart. But again, the point, God wants to showcase the sin of Egypt before he judges it. Take also the case of the Canaanites. In that case, God used his own people to judge the Canaanites, which was a horrible experience for the Israelites, having to fight evil in hand-to-hand combat. Certainly that gave the Jews a first-hand knowledge of what God thought about sin. But there's an interesting text in Genesis 15 where God explains his plan to Abraham. God said to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that's not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. That's a long time. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterwards they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You'll be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete." So God didn't give the land of the Canaanites to the Israelites until the sins of the Canaanites was complete or filled up. Look how much time passed before God would judge the Canaanites. He waited until their sin was fully evident and exposed. In the law of Moses, the abominations of the Canaanites are listed. Leviticus 18, immorality, incest, child sacrifice, homosexuality, bestiality. Leviticus 18:24, "Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all of these, the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. For the land has become defiled, therefore I have brought its punishment upon it, so the land has spewed out its inhabitants." And then back in Leviticus 18:3, "You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt, where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes." Well, how would God's people know what sin looks like in either Egypt or Canaan unless God gave it free reign for a little while. The unsaved serve the purpose of being God's bad example. As in 2 Peter 2:6, and he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. And Jude 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah are exhibited as an example of undergoing the punishment in eternal fire. God put their sin up as an exhibit, just like a museum sets up an exhibit. Now, there are many more examples in Scripture concerning how God first allows sin to be exposed before he judges it. But one final example, in the final judgment of Israel in AD 70, Jesus prophesied that Israel would be destroyed, but it was almost 40 years before it came to pass. First, the rebellion of the Jews had to play itself out, and the Jewish historian Josephus would chronicle the whole train wreck. In conclusion, isn't it amazing that God has allowed mankind to create all of this information technology at the end of this age? So that God is exposing sin like never before. We don't have films and recordings of what was being said and done by the ungodly in Egypt or in Canaan or in Sodom. We don't exactly know the ideologies that were being used to justify their sin, such as today we call it Marxism, gender theory, critical race theory, deconstructionism. We can be sure that the Sodomites had names for the immoral ideology they embraced. But today, everything is recorded. And the whole world knows. Future generations will see it all. The pride parades this month are going to be on all of the social media sites. So the sin of mankind is being paraded out for everyone to see. In these last days, nobody has an excuse. Everyone has to choose sides. And given the information technology today, an obvious comparison can be made between the recent past and now. The changing of education standards, the changing of laws, the changing of the DSM standards for mental disorders. There are quotes even of Joe Biden, where he spoke against abortion and same-sex marriage back in the 1990s. These people's own words will condemn them. And of course, God always keeps records, but now we have our own records showing us our sin. So the point is that God will always expose sin before he judges it. He opens the trash lid, has us take a good whiff before he takes out the garbage. We might wonder, where is the God of justice? But God has a plan to test our faith and to teach mankind that God is true. This truth may be obvious to you, but there are many Christians who still need to learn these scriptures and develop a biblical way of understanding what's happening in our world. Plus, we need to know this plan of God, and we need to be able to communicate it in our witness to this world. In all of these discussions with our coworkers and our neighbors, we can simply and briefly say, don't you realize that this outbreak of evil is God exposing sin right before he judges it? Well, I'm out of time. Thanks for listening. The extended video version of this program will be at rumble.com. The channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs or to get the video links is godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to stand firm, not wavering in unbelief, but growing strong in faith, giving glory to God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.